like that verse, but I also like the verse that is in the Voice translation. It's a translation, they translate the verse like this. For you shaped me inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath. I will offer you my grateful heart, for I am your unique creation, filled with wonder and awe. You have approached even the smallest detail with excellence. Your works are wonderful. I carry this knowledge deep within my soul. Now, God does not make mistakes. He created you and me down to every last little tiny detail. And it says that, you know, they're excellent. And that's his works. It also said that his works are wonderful. So we are made wonderfully, right? Now, I was running a little bit late, and I was doing a run by the ATM, but does anybody have like a dollar bill I could just use for example, or a bill like a 5 or a 10 or something? Something. Oh, nice. Nice. Actually, this is going to work better with that. Sorry. U.S. currency, please. That is no good here. Oh my gosh, really? This is, all right. No, no, I'm cool. What? How much you got?
I got.
Oh, that's, no, no, okay. All right, so this, right? I'm talking the $1 bill. Who's on the $1 bill? Right. No one. The picture of George Washington, right? All right, so how much is George worth? How much is this piece of paper worth?
$1,
right? All right, so what if George kind of had a bad day? And he kind of got crumpled up. All right, how much is George worth right now?
$1.
And why is that? Because it's a dollar. It's because the United States government has a Federal Reserve. It has a gold reserve. So they have gold backed up, so promising that this promissory note, if that's what this is a promissory note saying that I will, that's how much it's worth. In the United States, it's worth a dollar, no matter what. And they have all this gold stockpiled in places like Fort Knox. We've all heard of Fort Knox, right? A whole bunch of gold in this place in Kentucky, right? And it's in a fort, so it's all secure, right? So God backs us up. He has promised us that he is backing us. Huh? Well, let's just 1 second. 1 John, let's turn to 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John, chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2, 1 through 2. Tori, can you read? Yep.
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the one atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right, so Jesus is our advocate. And we all know what that is, right? Because I just taught on it just like a couple weeks ago. And some people were here. Advocate, so he fights for you, right? He backs you. So he's even better than gold. better than the Federal Reserve, because he backs you. And who better to back us than God, right? He loves us and he sees us as very valuable. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 15, 1 and 2. Brandon, can you read that? Okay, did everybody notice that the Bible lists tax collectors and then sinners, not just sinners, right? How would you feel if somebody took your money with really no reason behind it? Brandon, how would you feel? Mad. I don't want you feeling mad, so here's your slightly wrinkled money back. It works the same thing. It just won't work in a Coke machine. But ever again. You'd feel mad, right? And that's kind of how the Pharisees saw the tax collectors. Is because what the tax collectors were doing was what? Taking their money, right? And the reason they were taking their money is because Rome was occupying Israel right now. So they were working for Rome. So they're working for a government that took them over. So they're pretty much prisoners in their own land. And then on top of that, people are taking money from them to give to this army so that they could stay there. You know, so they're like, no, tax collectors are even lower than sinners. They're the worst of the worst. So that's why they... And then Jesus, here he is, he's eating with them. And when you eat with somebody, a meal is only supposed to be shared with like a friend, a close friend. So they're saying, no, this is wrong. You know, this is not fair. You know, the Pharisees and scribes, the scribes are the ones what wrote down the law. So they wrote down the law so they'd be really familiar. They're really knowledgeable in the law. And they were complaining. They're complaining. Look at this. What is Jesus doing? So Luke 15, verse 3. Emily, can you read that? That was it. So he told him, he spoke to him of this parable. So what is that telling us?
He spoke,
right. And so at the very beginning of the verses, so something happened those first two verses, right? What happened?
They were saying tax collectors
were sinners. Well, they weren't exactly saying that's what they meant, but they were complaining, right? So these people were complaining about who? About Jesus. He was complaining about Jesus. He was complaining about the sinners he was accompanying with, right? So Jesus just didn't sit back. He just didn't let them keep on complaining. He did something about it, right? and he told them about this parable. He defended the tax collectors and sinners that he was accompanying with. So he defended them. Romans 8:31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Julia, can you read that?
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
You know, it's not like the question of the McGregor in the Mayweather fight. You know, who's going to win? But I'm surprised you know him. Right? I'm just like, whoa, blow my mind. You know, it's not like that question. If you have God on your side, there's nobody who could be against you because there's nobody better. There's nobody stronger. There's nobody else you'd want in your corner. He's the best person or best thing you'd ever have in your corner, right? Because if he's with us, nothing. You know, who could be against us? Who could? Nobody can. So we're back in Luke 15. Luke 15, verses 4 and 6. 4 through 6. 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. Okay, my bad. Right? No, I didn't like verse 5. It was just horrible. No, we want 5:2. So, Cassie, are you close? Mm-hmm. You got it? 4, 5, and 6. 4 through 6. Also. So a shepherd, right? What is a shepherd's job?
To guide sheep,
right? Right, everybody agree? Right. It is to guide sheep. And then if there was a wolf or a bear, what's he to do? He was protect. Hit him really strongly, like Julia, right? He was supposed to protect, right? Now, this is a well-known profession, especially back then, right? Everybody would know what the job would entail, right? He'd have to take care of it. And if there was that attacker, it doesn't matter if his life was in danger. He'd have to protect, right? A good shepherd would protect the sheep at all cost. In John, you might want to keep your finger in Luke because we'll be back. But in John chapter 10, verse 11. Mario, can you read that? Chapter 10, John 10, verse 11. All right, so whose Bible has read that in red? Right? And what does that mean? that Jesus is speaking. So Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd lays down his life, right? And we see that he did that for us. He died for our sins. But a good shepherd, you know, he sees, you know, a good shepherd would do that. He's going to stand out in case there's danger. He's going to be there in front of the danger, between danger and the sheep. Now, a sheep sees the lost sheep, a shepherd sees the lost sheep as worth searching for. Right? He is worth searching for. He searches until he finds it, and then what does he do? He celebrates. He rejoices. He's not mad that the sheep got lost. He might be a little frustrated, right? Let's be honest. But he's overjoyed that he found it. It doesn't matter about that. You know, you might have been mad searching for it, but once he found it, he's overjoyed. He's overjoyed that he found it. He even carries this lost sheep to make sure it gets back on the journey to the flock, right? He carries it. No matter what that sheep needs, he's happy to do it. He's so happy, he wants everybody to share in that happiness. So he wants his friends, he wants his neighbors to rejoice with him. So he's just that happy, right? He's overjoyed. In verse 7 in Luke chapter 15, Elena, can you read that? I think sometimes people look at this or hear this verse and they think God values the one more than the 99. The 99 that were righteous, right? Well, it says that they're righteous. But God loves us all the same. That 99 just people who need no repentance is kind of aimed at the Pharisees. Are people like the Pharisees? You know, their pride sees themselves as righteous. You know, and they refuse to see the areas they fall short in. You know, those people who are unwilling to repent because they think that there's no need. You know, they feel like their good works will earn them a spot in heaven. That's the 99 Jesus is talking about there. It's those people refuse, oh, well, I don't need to repent. You know, those people that aren't willing to give themselves to Jesus. You know, compared with God, our best is like filthy rags, the Bible tells us. You know, God loves a repentive heart. And then Jesus goes on in Luke 15, 8 and 9. Nick, can you read that? Yep, 8 and 9. So this lady, right? This lady, she has 10 silver coins, but she loses one of them. So how many does she still have?
Nine.
Good job. You guys are ready for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You guys are good. You're good. And Monday? Oh, you're ready for next week. Nothing can stop you. Now, they all have the same value, right? It doesn't specifically say this silver coin is bigger than this one. So they're all the same value, right? So she still has 9, but they're all the same. So, but get this, the one that she lost, you know, it doesn't lose the value, right? It still has the same value, doesn't it? Right, right. It's still the same value as the other nine, right? Individual coins. It's the same coin, but it's lost. You know, but it still keeps its value. Now, has anybody ever lost money, wallet, purse, or cell phone? Misplaced. Misplaced. I like that. I've known a gentleman, he lost a phone on a beach at night, and we found it. I thought he'd be here, but he's not here. Caleb. Right. Yeah, it was on a summer camp, and we actually found it. It was awesome, but we were frantically searching, right? You remember that? Or?
Yeah.
I don't know if you were there. I can't remember. It's been a while. I think it was the first summer camp he went to. He was much careful with his phone after that, I think. But I seem to misplace my wallet about once a month. I don't know. It's just crazy. And it's always right before work. I'm trying to rush out the door, and I frantically search the whole house. Right? I turn on lights. I wake Michelle up because I leave early. And because if you turn on the lights, it's your best shot of seeing something, right? It's kind of hard to see something in the darkness. It's a lot harder. I've tried it, but it's a lot harder. So to turn on lights, you know, it may cost money to light a lamp. Because remember back in then, they probably didn't light lamps unless it was very important. Or to turn on a switch. That does cost money using electricity. But it's worth it. That silver coin is worth it. Finding. My wallet is worth finding. You know, I've looked through dirty clothes. I went through all kinds of things, even if it didn't seem like there's no way my wallet could be here. Why would I put it in there? I've looked through it, right? We've all done that, right? You look in refrigerators like, maybe I set it in there and got a drink. I don't know. But I've looked through it. You know, I've looked through it just in case. You know, looking carefully every place till you find it. Now, I've never told my neighbors, hey, I found it. Thanks, guys. No, I've told Michelle so she doesn't, I don't know, so she could go back to sleep. So she doesn't keep looking for it. But I've told her, you know, and trust me, I'm very ecstatic. I'm very glad. I might be kicking myself for misplacing it, but I'm very glad I found it, right? Because it's valuable to me. It's worth it because I need to find it. Even I don't carry around money, but I got my driver's license. I don't want to get busted. I like to take my time. Yeah, my debit card's in there too. Little thing. So in verse 10, we're back in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Josiah. So God and all of his angels rejoice. When anybody comes to the Lord, when anybody trusts in Jesus, they rejoice. They're ecstatically happy. They'd probably be more happy than I just found a wallet. You know, they're finding a soul. They just saved a soul. Huh? Yeah. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 through 10. Stephen.
But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, through 10.
So that in the coming age,
God loved us from the very beginning. The Bible tells us, even before we took our first breath, God loved us. Before we knew his name, he loved us. You know, he hates losing anyone. And he's willing to do whatever it takes. He's willing to go and search out, frantically search out us and help us. Because we are valuable to him. You guys have value. Every single one of you have value to God. God loves you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Stephen, can you close us in prayer?